lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. All right, you can probably take the reverb off there for me. That's awesome. Hey, how many know it's an awesome thing to have communion? How many know that? All right, well, we're breaking in. We're going to turn the whole service all about communion today, all right? Because I don't want you just kind of coming to the table. Oh, yeah, it's that other little thing we do and it's some kind of attachment to the meeting. And not sure what that's all about. If you don't have incredible revelation about communion, you can do things without really embracing the full experience of it, you know? So I want you to really get communion. I mean, there's so much about it. I almost studied myself into oblivion. You can pull so much out of the Word about the whole thing. So I'm just going to try to give you some today and share with you importance about the table. And we'll take it from there. Are you ready? Go in your Bibles. Get your Bible and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 32. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 32. Now, the Apostle Paul, he wasn't one of the friends of Jesus. He wasn't one of his disciples when Jesus was around. He wasn't somebody who hung out with Jesus when he was, you know, on the earth. He was actually somebody who did not like what Jesus was doing. And after, you know, Jesus' resurrection, he really made it his personal commission to knock the church out. He didn't like what was going on. He thought these people are a bunch of crazies and we got to put these people down. And so the Apostle Paul, when he says, I received this from the Lord. He says, I received this by revelation. He's saying, the Lord, somebody else didn't teach me this. It wasn't something that came to me secondhand. It wasn't one of the disciples who told me when we were not in the upper room and Jesus broke bread and he gave us this. He literally says, I had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ and he taught me all about the meaning of communion. And so here we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and he says in verse 23, he says, for I received from the Lord that which also is delivered to you. He said, now this is God. God himself downloaded this whole thing to me. He said that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. Say, eat. Take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Say, new covenant. See, in your Bibles there, you got a New Testament and you got an Old Testament. That word testament is the word covenant. It's a Latin aspect of the word covenant. But we have the Old Covenant and we have the New Covenant. And Jesus is saying, I'm making a new deal. There's a new arrangement. I'm going to make a new oath. I'm going to make a new solemn promise to you. I'm going to make a covenant with you. And so Jesus is saying to them, I want to tell you, there's a new covenant. And he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Do it. This do. Say this do. Something you should do. And he said, this do, and as often as you do, do it in remembrance of me. And I love the way the Amplified says it. The Amplified says, do it, but it says, when you do it, you are calling me affectionately. Not your affections, but his affections. You're putting a demand on the affections of God at that moment to come into tangible expression and manifestation for you right there at that moment. So he says, when you do this to call me into remembrance, to touch my affections in regard to you. So do this as often as you do it, and do it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim. You proclaim. You are making a proclamation. So he says, whenever you do this, he said, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. How many folks sometimes feel unworthy? Just me and Johnny. Johnny wore his fatigues today because he knew we were doing that army song. But you see, it doesn't say unworthy. It says in an unworthy manner. See, there's an approach that is not done in a worthy fashion. You can approach the table. You can come to the table. You can participate in the table. Not that you are unworthy to do it, but you can do it inappropriately. You can do it without understanding. You can do it without revelation. There's a manner of coming to this table. There's a manner of taking communion that is unworthy. It's an unworthy participation, not because you are unworthy, but because you're coming to this table, which is so important, and you're coming to this table without real proper understanding or revelation. Because how many know every one of us did not deserve the grace of God? Not one of us deserved God to come out of heaven, to put on flesh and blood just like us, and to die on the cross for us. Not one of us deserved it. Not one of us was righteous enough that he said, "You're so awesome, I'm going to come and die for you." He died for us when we were wretches, when we were sinners. Christ died, the ungodly for the godly, that we might become the righteousness of God. So it's not about, you know, sinners can't come to this table. Jesus was the friend of sinners. Jesus did this because of sin. Jesus did this so that we could have fellowship with him and that he could personally deal with our sin. So it just disturbs me whenever I see, if I ever have a Sunday where I'm back here during the week doing something and I see cups left places where somebody took a cup but then they tucked it aside and they didn't participate. I don't get that. I don't understand why you would do that. I mean, I want you to participate. I want you to see that he has made access to him available, and you need to know that. You know, if you don't know that, then you're going to push away a blessing, because this is a cup of blessing. Therefore, whoever eats or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But, listen, let's not do that, all right? Or let's not do that. How about that? How about we not do that? Okay? Because here's what Paul says. Paul says, so let's not do that. Okay? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. So you see, a lot of people stop there and go, oh, bam. Okay, well, I don't want to do the unworthy thing because that would be wrong. But listen. So let's not do that. Okay? Let's not do that. Let's examine ourselves. So let us eat and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So I want to make sure you discern the Lord's body. I want to make sure that you eat and drink today with understanding. All right? So we want to, for he who eats in an unworthy manner, eats or drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if you would judge yourself, you would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, and we that we may not be condemned with the world. Amen. So let them eat. So let them come. So come on. Let's get involved. Now, sacrament, the word sacrament. We have two sacraments in our church that we practice. We practice the sacrament of baptism, and we practice the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We had a baptism several weeks ago, and we teach people before baptism that this is more than just getting wet. This is a powerful, living dynamic that will be alive in your life from this point on. You are a water-baptized believer in Jesus Christ. And I know people we've talked to even since then, that since their baptism, their lives have changed. Their lives have literally, there's something significant took place in their lives, and they are living in a whole new level and experience with God because of that powerful experience with him. I had a fellow call me once after he was baptized, and he called me up and said, "Pastor Carl." I said, "Yeah, what's up?" He said, "Pastor Carl, I have fingernails." And I'm like, "Man, that is really awesome. You have fingernails." And I'm like, "Awesome. So what's up?" He says, "No, I have fingernails." And I'm like, "Right on. That's great. So what's happening today?" He goes, "I got fingernails." I'm like, "Okay, help me with the fingernail thing." He says, "You don't understand. Haven't you seen me? Haven't you seen me when I'm hanging around? I'm constantly chewing my nails." I went, that's true. I've seen you. You're just always, you know, got your hands in your mouth. What's the deal with that?" He goes, "You know, ever since I tried to figure it out, but I was like, I need nail clippers." And then I went, "Man, I need nail clippers. What's the deal with that? I have never, ever in my life needed nail clippers. Never. Because I've literally always chewed my fingers to just raw." He said, "But I'm looking," I'm going, "I have fingernails." He says, and I was going, "What happened? What went on?" He says, "And I realized that ever since I was baptized, I haven't chewed my nails." Now, that may not be exciting for you, but that was exciting for him. And, you know, I went, man, and that's the truth, because you know what? Whatever anxiety or nervous gnawing was going on in his life, he was totally set free. Peace came into his life, totally delivered. It's a powerful, powerful thing. But you see, communion isn't just something we do and, hey, let's all come and a bit of bread, a bit of the cup, and let's drink, and let's just feel sad for a few minutes about what Jesus did. Hallelujah. And then we all go home. There's way more involved in communion than that. So the word sacrament, all right? The word sacrament, from the Latin, it means an oath of allegiance, a rite believed to be a means or a visible form of grace. Sacrament, from the Latin, oath of allegiance, a rite believed to be a means or a visible form of grace. It means a deposit is made by two parties seeking to secure justice. So two parties are making a deposit, and they're making a deposit as a sign of their commitment to the oath, to the dedication, to the commitment they're making. But on God's side, he deposits grace. And on our side, all we have to do is deposit faith. God deposits everything. He fulfills all the requirements. God looses just a massive download of his grace upon us. And our part is just to say, I believe you're really that good. And I believe all your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And I believe that what you did in Christ, you cut that covenant in Christ's own body. His own blood ratifies it, and I believe that, and I receive all the grace and all the benefits. Can I get an amen? All right, so then there's the word covenant. Now, the word covenant, just a quick definition of that. Covenant is a solemn agreement between two parties for the purposes of creating and maintaining a successful relationship. So God wants to have a relationship with us, and so he uses that whole aspect of covenant relationship, and it's way more than a contract. It's way more than just a commitment. It is a covenant that God himself has cut in himself, in his own body. Jesus Christ himself says, I am the new covenant, my blood. This cup is the new covenant. I am sealing this covenant in my very own blood. So he says, I'm making this promise to you. Now listen, you don't take communion with God, you receive communion. We're not taking anything from him. We are receiving today communion from the Lord. So let me go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, 26 to 30. Matthew 26, 26 to 30. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed, and he broke it. He took bread, he blessed, and he broke it. Say blessed. He blessed it. There is a blessing that he put upon that. We're going to do that today. We're going to take that bread and we're going to speak blessing over that bread. We're going to speak the very blessing of God over that bread. Something's going to be activated powerfully, and something's going to significantly take place in your life today as we participate in communion. How many love seeing miracles? There's complete miracles here in the house today because God says, bring me in remembrance. I will affectionately be moved. I will act on your behalf. I will be present in the breaking of the bread. I will manifest and disclose myself to you today. And it's good, good stuff. So he said, now this is Jesus. He's in the upper room. He broke the bread. He blessed it and he gave it to his disciples. He said, take, eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks. He blessed it and he gave it to them saying, drink from it. Drink all of you, for this is the blood, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many and for the remission, for the complete removal, for the obliteration. You see, because the blood of goats and animals might have covered sin for a little while, but the blood of Jesus removes sin, it obliterates sin, it removes sin from you completely once and for all, past, present, and future. You no longer have a sin relationship with God. Your sins are removed from you as far as the east is from the west, and you're brought into a relationship with God that is never, ever again shaped by sin. For the remission of sin, it's totally removed. Then he says, but I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I will not drink that again. I'm not going to participate in this meal with you again until I do it anew, complete in my Father's kingdom. So many would say that that's the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that's way off in the future. That's after the millennial and all these things and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's not. It's not so. He says, I'm not going to do it. I won't drink of it until my Father's kingdom. And I just added this verse in because I thought it was good. Verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, say, sung a hymn. Amen. I mean, the only worship I see Jesus ever had was some hymn singing. So I reckon if we want to be good, authentic, you know, we should be biblical people. Amen. They sung a hymn, then they went to the Mount of Olives. You fighting me already? Eh? What do you got? Got a problem? All right. They sang a hymn. Now, listen. Remember these couple on the road to Emmaus, all right? Now, many believe that it was actually a man and a wife. It was an actual couple. Some even have taught that, you know, she was very devoted to Jesus and he was kind of skeptical. And after the whole thing was done, he's like, let's get out of here. Let's go home. Enough already. This whole thing didn't work out. Let's go. And their heads are downcast and they're bickering about the whole thing. And they're on the way to Emmaus. And the word Emmaus means warm bath. So literally, Jesus said, stay and stay here. And I'm going to come back. I'm going to meet with you. But here's a couple of the disciples who turned their back on God and began to walk away. But isn't it wonderful that even when you turn your back on God because of confusion or misunderstanding, you don't know what's going on, even if you're walking in the other direction, I love it because it says, and Jesus caught up with them. I just love that phrase, don't you? He's not going to let you wander away. I love that hymn we sang. It says, nothing will take us out of his hands. Isn't that wonderful? But Jesus catches up with them. And when he catches up with them on the road to Emmaus, it says that he's teaching them and he's talking to them. It was literally the word of God was breaking the word of God. It says from the Moses all the way through the prophets, I mean, right through the Old Testament, he taught them about himself. And as they're listening to this guy talk, they don't know who he is. Their eyes are cast down. They don't see. They have no revelation, but as he's teaching the word, it says, we're not our hearts burning. Amen. Our hearts are burning as Jesus is teaching the word to them. And then they're like, don't go. I mean, turn in here. It's getting late. Why don't you stay over here with us? I mean, they wanted more. And when Jesus came and he sat with them, when they had the meal, look what it says now in Luke 24, verse 30. Look what it says. Now it came to pass, as he sat with them at the table, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. What happened? I mean, here's Jesus. He takes the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them and poof, their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. So what's going on right here? This is Jesus now. I've come into my kingdom. I've come into the expression of the Father's kingdom. Everything I've been teaching you and preaching you, I've been demonstrating the kingdom, but now I'm in the kingdom. Now, in a new way, I've entered into the fullness of my Father's kingdom. And here he is breaking bread and he's eating with them. Jesus wasn't talking about somewhere way down the road, because Jesus had communion with them now. He broke bread with them now. He ministered to them. He blessed that bread and their eyes were open. Now, if you look at the pattern here, if you look at Genesis chapter 3, 6, and 7, a few weeks back we were talking about the two trees that were in the garden. And, you know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it wasn't just the disobedience or the fact that they disobeyed God, because God said, if you eat of that tree, the fruit of that tree, when you consume it, the fruit of that tree will get in you, and the fruit of that tree will manifest brokenness in your life. It'll separate you from God. It'll cause death. Eating in it, in dying, you will surely die. There's going to be a spiritual death that will lead to a physical death. And the fruit of eating of that tree is separation from God, and your eyes will be open to the knowledge of good and evil. Now, how many think, well, you wouldn't think the knowledge of good would be a bad thing. There's a lot of people today who think the solutions to the world's problems is we just need to be taught more. But you know what? That's not true. If it was just a pursuit of knowledge and learning all things good, then we could do it. But you see, that knowledge turns you away from God and turns you on man, which is really the biggest, ugliest form of humanism. But here they ate from that tree, and look what it says in Genesis 3, 6, and 7. It says, she took the fruit, and she ate it. Say, ate it. See, when she ate that, something took place. When she ate that, there was a manifestation because of that fruit. She also gave some then to her husband, and he ate it, and the eyes of both of them were opened. That's just like it says in Luke. It says, when Jesus broke the bread and he gave it to them, their eyes were opened and they knew him. You see, what happened in Genesis 3, their eyes were open and they were turned in on themselves and their fellowship with God was broken. You see, the fellowship with God got broken when they ate. And you see, for the fellowship to be restored and for our relationship with God to understand him, to know him, and to receive everything from him, there had to be an eating. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you can have no part with me. There had to be, just like that eating caused destruction, there is an eating, there is a participation in this covenant meal. There is an eating that causes life to come into expression and manifestation in your life. And at the table today, there's a powerful demonstration of His life and His power, that when you eat, you know Him. When you eat, you partake of Him. When you eat, you receive of Him. When you eat, there's a communion with Him that manifests freedom, liberty, and powerful dimensions of His glory in your life. Now, it's all type. It's all type. But when you do this in remembrance of Him, when you do this in faith believing, when you do this in a manner that's worthy, when you do this in a manner of understanding that I am partaking of the tree of life, I am taking in Jesus, I am taking in the very life of God, you can know that there's power at the table today to radically change your life. And when you know that, you don't say, I only get to take communion once a month at church. When you begin to know that, you begin to go, man, when I really want to have some fellowship with some friends, we could be at Tim Hortons, and I go, do you mind if I could just get a bun and maybe some of that purple Gatorade? Thank you. And you can sit with your friends and pour some stuff and go, let's break bread. Let's bless it. Let's take Him now. Let's eat of the covenant meal. Let's experience Him right now together. They devoted themselves to the Scriptures, to the apostles' doctrine, to prayer, and to the breaking of bread. They devoted themselves to it. And yet, you know, we toss it around, you know, if you're here every time it happens, maybe 12 times a year you get to have communion at church. But you know, you can do this meal, you can participate in this meal. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of Me. But literally, do it often. Do it often. Often. The Lord's table, remember Me. It's not a call. It's not a call to commiserate His sufferings or our sin. It's not a place in, you know, we got that little place built into our, you know, our liturgy where we come and every once in a while we go, oh yes, let's come to the table and let's remember how much He did for us and let's remember how wretched we are. Let's sing a couple of sad songs too and let's just, you know, crush out a couple of tears and go, God. And we do that. You know what? Man. When you consider everything that Jesus did and all that He's done, He made possible for you to enter into a full relationship with God. He's literally looking down on you at those times going, why are you so sad? Like, what is the problem? This is a great exchange. This was a massive trade. This was awesome stuff here. That's why we call it Good Friday. It might have been a horrible experience that He had, but you know what? He went through it. It's done. He said, it's finished. You know what? I'd quite really like to think, enough already about all that. Let's think about all the good things we get because it's finished. Let's not go through it over and over again. Let's not commiserate over it again. Let's not revisit my pain and my suffering. Let's visit the fact that I won victory for you, that I defeated sin and Satan. Let's rejoice over what was done so that you don't have to do it, so you can have righteousness, my righteousness in you. And yeah, it is. It's really, really incredible. And it might make you cry, but they better be tears of joy. Because it was a good thing that happened for me that day. Because He took everything I deserved. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, somebody paid a debt you could never pay. I'm so sorry you had to do that. But I'm ever glad you did. Come on, now the Lord's table, He says, remember Me. The Eucharist. Eucharist, the word Eucharist means gratitude, it means thanks, it means grace. So it's a great place to give thanks. Let's embrace. Now look at Psalm 105. It talks about all the wonderful things that God did for the people of Israel. But verse 26 to 37, it says, He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among His tribes. Now listen, that's the old covenant. Say old covenant. Jesus said, I came to give you a new covenant. How many have ever had an old pair of shoes? How many have ever had a new pair of shoes? How many know that for a little while, the new might be a little hard on your feet, but new or better? New or better. Amen? New or better. And it's a good thing to have the new. And how many have driven around an old car for a long time? How many got a new car? New is better. I mean, the whole book of Hebrews is about better. I mean, he's talking to a Hebrew mindset and Hebrew people. He's saying, I want to tell you, there's something better. You guys had a great covenant. I mean, their covenant had healing. Their covenant had prosperity. Their covenant, the old covenant with the Jews, it had incredible blessing. But he's trying to tell them, look, as awesome as that was, this one is way better.
Because this one, it doesn't cover sin. It delivers you from sin. It even delivers you from the sin consciousness. And it even delivers you from any remembrance of sin. It removes it completely from you and it cleanses your conscience. How awesome is that? So it's a far better covenant. But look, it says in that covenant, it says, and what did they do? They had just practiced the Passover, which is the lamb. They took the lamb. The body of the lamb was broken. They consumed the lamb. They got the lamb on the inside. They put the blood on the outside of the doorpost, on the top and on the sides. On the top and on the sides. What's that a type of? The cross. What did they just participate in? They participate in a foreshadowing of what we're going to do today. And after they did that, after they consumed the lamb, the whole lamb, drank the whole cup, did everything, it says, bam, every single one of them, almost 3 million people, it was the biggest healing service ever, almost 3 million people were totally delivered of all disease, all feebleness, it was all gone in an instant, and they all walked out of Egypt. Not only did they walk out healthy, but they walked out laden down with all the gold and all the silver. You know why God wanted to make them healthy? Because you guys got to carry away all the bounty, all the loot. You got to take away all the riches of Egypt. It's yours anyway. You worked for 400 years for nothing, and I'm going to pay you. You're going to take all the wealth of Egypt, and you need to be healthy because you're going to be laden down heavy with gold and silver and riches. And you know, we're serving the purpose of God. Our bodies should be well. We are anointed spirits moving to a wonderful destiny. Our body should glorify God. My body should not be breaking down, but my body should be participating in eternal life. It says his resurrection power, that same spirit, is quickening my mortal body. I believe that. When you come to the table, you gotta believe that. If you come to the table, you literally believe I can live out of a supernatural platform. I can live out of the very life of God himself. Or you can eat of the tree of knowledge and try to work it out yourself. You get to eat of the tree of life today. I don't expect anything really to shift in my body today. That's unworthy. I believe that this covenant meal is going to rip you wide open and bring eternity into your life like you've never known. I don't have those expectations. Well, poopy do. You should. You really should. Psalm 23, verse 5, he said, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Sit down. You got some problems? You got some things trying to attack you right now? How many got some problems? How many got some stuff that they would like removed? How many got, I love it. It says, I love that hymn we sang, Cornerstone. It says that every scheme of the enemy or any scheme of man, he's my cornerstone and he's totally delivered me from that. It's not just a song and it's all about the finished work of the cross. You know, he sets a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I don't care if sickness is trying to get on me. I don't care if lack is trying to get on me. I don't care if things are trying to creep into my relationships and disturb me. I don't care what it is. I'm coming to a table right now. And my enemies might still be present, but I'm going to sit down at this table right now, and I'm going to eat, and I'm going to drink, and I'm going to receive from the Lord right now an absolute total breakthrough in my life. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10 says, now Samuel was offering the burnt offering and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered a loud thunder upon the Philistines and he drove them out and they went and they cleaned up all the Philistines good and their enemies were defeated. See, what was Samuel doing? Samuel was putting a demand on the future. There's a lamb who was given for us, and in the power of that lamb and that future promise, I put a demand right now on a covenant we have with God, that my enemies are his enemies, and we have an enemy here today, and I'm going to put a demand on the covenant that when I fight, you've got to fight. If I got a problem, you got a problem. If I got a difficulty, you got a difficulty, and I'm not going to go battle this in my name. I'm going to go in the name of the covenant that we have, and I'm going to put a demand on your power to be manifest in my struggle right now. So I'm going to break this lamb. I'm going to cut this lamb. I'm going to bring you to remembrance of the promise you made over us right now, and I expect you to show up. And when he made that covenant, the sacrifice with that lamb, it says the Lord thundered and he showed up and the whole situation changed. We're doing that today. We're doing it right now. Settle down. I know you're excited. Please hang on. All right. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of his flesh and blood, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. She shared in flesh and blood. Why? He shared in it, but he shared in it that through death he might destroy him. 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 Who? The one who had the power of death. That is the devil. Tell me, did Jesus die? Was his blood poured out for you? Did he give up his life for you? Did he? Yes, he did. If he did it, then guess what? The devil has been destroyed. He did that to destroy him. Who? And then he defines it. Who are you talking about? Who is him? The devil. Did it to destroy him. 1 John 3, verse 8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Hello. The works of the devil. Matthew 9, 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. When you're ministering the kingdom, what you see is an entrance of another realm, and it supersedes any other realm. His name, the name above every name, every chain is broken, everything is shattered. He comes, he announces, I got a new plan. There's a new deal. I want to announce to you that I am here to offer you a new reign and a new will. I am the king. I've been sent by my father. I am now sent that I can introduce you and bring you into a new domain. I am the king of a new domain. There's new rules. There's a new way to live. And you can come by faith into this experience and you can receive every blessing. There's a new kingdom. It's right here. It's at hand. It's within your reach. Come on and have some. And then Jesus said, I'm not going to have this meal again until I come into the kingdom. And he did it. I tell you, we're not waiting for the kingdom. We're not waiting for some next great event. It is finished. It's all ours right now. God didn't die to get you into heaven. He died so that he could get back into you. He died so that that nasty fruit that you ate, you can eat the new fruit of a new kingdom. And you can eat again. And you can be restored to your heavenly father and have every blessing of his kingdom radiating even through your physical body. Amen, Pastor. I'm sweating a couple of things up here. Hallelujah. All right. Give me another slide there. You ready? Give me another. Dis. Say dis. Dis. The word dis, look it up in your dictionary if you want, but the word dis means to apart, to asunder. It is a negative or reversing force. In Roman mythology, Dis was the god of the underworld. Dis was the god of the underworld. Dis means to separate from, to cause it to come asunder. Therefore, if you add dis to anything, it's ruled by the devil. If there's dis on anything, you are attaching the god of the underworld to something. Are you ready? Let's give me another slide. Here we go. Ready? Dis. Let's add dis to comfort. What do you get? Discomfort. Let's add dis to courage. What do you get? Discouraged. Let's add dis to ability. What do you get? Disability. Let's add dis to being advantaged. What do you get? Disadvantaged. Let's add dis to disqualify. You ready to add it to qualify? Disqualify. My it had a weird little connection when I changed it to the other computer. It got dissed. So connect, dis. Connect, integrate, disintegrate, inherit, disinherit. See, when the enemy came in, he brought a dis into your whole experience. You become disenfranchised. You become disappointed. And then there's the other one, the really big one right here in the neck. Well, let's just go to this. You ready? Give me this slide right here. So we take away the dis. What do you have? Comfort, courage, ability, advantage, quality. You're qualified, you're connected, you're integrated. See, when dis comes in, your relationships get screwed up. When dis comes in, you're fearful, you'll never have enough. When dis comes in, you don't know that you have an inheritance. When dis comes in, you're fearful because your courage has been taken away. When the devil comes in to steal every wonderful, great, and lovely thing that you have in God. But you know, when you come to the table, the dis is removed. Go to the next slide. Next slide. Dis-ease. How many would like ease? No, you have a covenant to walk in ease. You have a covenant that brings you peace and wholeness. It's a covenant. He is the Prince of Peace, shalom, wholeness, no lack. I mean, but you see, the devil comes to bring dis-ease. So Jesus took the dis out of my whole world. Therefore, Jesus, my ease is no longer ruled by the devil. Jesus took the dis, and right here at this table, I want to celebrate that at the cross, he was crucified so that I can be free. He healed me of every iniquity, and he removed all my sin, but he also healed me of all diseases. All. Every single one. No matter what disease there is, no matter what has a name. You see, it says his blood has remitted all my sin and removed me from sin. But it says his body, and when I partake of his body that was broken open and peeled open through those whippings and scarrings and beatings, his body bore the punishment. He took the full, total, complete dis. So that I don't have to have any dis in any of my life anymore. I can have ease, comfort, courage, strength. I can know my inheritance. I can know I'm qualified. All these things are mine because he removed the dis in every single way. It did this, it says, by his stripes we were healed. He did this to show that by his stripes we were healed and every disease is taken. Give me another slide. Give me another slide. 1 Corinthians 11:25. This cup is the new covenant ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to call me affectionately to remembrance. Now, they ate and death entered in, but you're going to eat because life is going to enter in. And you know, here's the thing. You don't have to struggle to try to make yourself adequate. You don't have to somehow prove yourself or do any other thing. The only thing that would be unworthy today is to not participate. That would be literally where you're setting yourself up and saying, I'm too proud to embrace what God did for me. You know, literally, this is a place where you got to humble yourself and say that I believe right now, I believe in the finished work of the cross, and I believe in the simplicity of it, and I believe that what you're saying to me is true. Therefore, I want every dis removed from my life today. And I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat right now. I'm going to eat and expect life to enter in and totally bring liberty and freedom to me. In Jesus' name. All right, so I'm going to ask our leaders to come. Those who have been appointed, they're going to come. And we're going to pass out these emblems. And then we're going to pray. We're going to bless it. We're going to lift it up. We're going to bless it. And then we're going to see miracles happen in your life today. Who needs a miracle today? I really need a breakthrough today. And I pray you're encouraged to do this. I know our healing rooms, they do this every week when they gather. And I encourage you at other times in your experience to do this. I mean, do this with your family. Have a time where you just get a loaf of bread or come into church and steal a bunch of these if you really love those nasty foamy wafers. How many know there is absolutely nothing redemptive in that piece of foam? But we're going to bless it today, and we're going to eat in faith, and we're going to take something, and we're going to eat something, and we're going to experience a covenant manifestation of God's privilege and benefits in us. Can I get an amen?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Snow, oh no.
Come on, do something. Come on, stand up with me. Stand up. Let's celebrate. Just talk to yourself for a second, you know? Because it says, let a man examine himself. So just examine yourself. Don't examine your neighbor or something else. And it's not that you're looking for sin or looking for things you did wrong. If you want to look for that, do that. That's fine. And if you did something, just say, thank you for the blood that covered that. Thank you that you covered that too. You saw that. Oh, you covered that too. Thank you that none of that can actually keep me from you, can it? There's nothing that can separate me from your love, is there? No. Wow. Now examine your own attitude now. Because think about how incredibly good news this is. God, and He really is God. He's God. He loves you. And He says, I've worked out this process, and here's how it works. My Son's going to come. He's going to take on flesh and blood just like you. He's going to enter into your situation. He's going to become one with your circumstance. He's going to identify with every pain, every situation, and every temptation. He's going to become absolutely one with you. And then He's going to live a perfect, pure, sinless life. And then He's going to be taken. They're going to take His body. His body's going to be beaten. It's going to be cut open. And literally that pure, precious blood of God. Not a mixed blood, but the blood of God Himself. God blood. The blood of God is going to pour out over top of that broken body. The blood of God is going to come from head to toe. And it's going to cover that broken body. And that body is going to take all sin. It's going to take the full punishment. It's going to take the full demonstration of God's wrath and God's anger. It's all going to be put on that body. And then that precious blood, that perfect blood, is going to pour over that body. And that perfect blood is going to pay the price. It's going to cover all of that sin. It's going to cover all of that shame. It's going to cover it so completely that Jesus is going to say, Father, unto you I commit my spirit. Because it's all paid. It's all done. It's all fully done. It is finished. And He's going to commit His spirit to me. And the full punishment for sin, for sickness, for disease, everything, it's going to be done there at the cross. And by doing that, I will fully, completely destroy the work of the devil. In fact, the devil himself I will crush. And I'll give you the privilege of under your feet crushing him every day of your life. And because of that, right now, you've been qualified for absolute total liberty. Not just a little bit, but complete. I didn't just set you a little bit free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I've covered everything. I didn't leave anything out. I've covered it, body, soul, and spirit. And now, I want you to eat with me right now. I want you to touch my affections. I want you to know that when you do this, I am moved. Because I'm the one who looks on that sacrifice. I'm the one who right now can look at my Son's scarred back, and I can see the wounds that speak for you. And with great joy, I can declare, you are free. Father, I thank you for freedom today in every sense. Father, we just examine our attitude. We examine, you know, where is there resistance in our own lives? Where are we? Where have we got blockages in our lives to just receiving that revelation? Father, we pray today, even as you taught that couple on the road, when they ate, their eyes were opened. We pray anywhere in our lives where our eyes are not open to your goodness, to your grace. We pray as we eat this bread today, that full revelation would come. Not just a revelation of mental assent, but a knowledge revelation. Revelation knowledge. Not just revelation knowledge that touches my mind, but a revelation knowledge that touches my whole being. Let a revelation knowledge of the finished work of the cross be manifest in every heart today. So, Father, we eat with knowledge today. We eat knowing this isn't just some little religious exercise we're involved in. This is where we are remembering that we have been restored. We are eating and we are partaking again of the fullness of the kingdom of God. So thank you right now. Thank you for this little wafer that represents the body of Christ. And as you spoke and you blessed it, we agree. We bless it. We bless it. We
we bless it right now. We say it is blessed, and it is blessed to perform what you said it will perform. And we receive now. We receive this emblem. We don't take it, but we receive it right now. And we receive healed bodies, healed minds, restored relationships. We receive it right now in the precious and the wonderful name of Jesus. Let's all eat right now in faith, believing. Amen. This is a representation. Jesus said, this is the new cup. This is a new covenant in my blood. It's a new covenant. It's better. You know, the old covenant had healing. They knew it. It was the children's bread to be healed in the old covenant. But he said, it's a new covenant. It's a better covenant. See, in the old covenant, the blood of the lambs, they just covered sin. But they didn't remove away the pain of it. They didn't remove that guilty conscience. They didn't penetrate all the way into your spirit and deliver you totally from that sense of sin. This is a recognition of my very nature has been changed and transformed. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. I've been born again because of this wonderful, precious blood. So, Father, we thank you for the blood that speaks right now. It speaks better than the blood of animals, better than the blood of Abel. It's the blood of God. It's God's blood. And we drink in a realization that God gave himself that he could proclaim, and he has the legal right to proclaim me 100% righteous, 100% sanctified, 100% holy. Not because of anything I've done, and I cannot add a single thing to it. Right now, I participate in the declaration that God himself made, and nobody can challenge him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I drink to this new covenant. I drink to it. And I pray that you would affectionately be moved right now. And that you would manifest this great revelation to every heart and every life in this place. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's drink together. That was something good right there. How many feel just a little bit better? How many think that was good? Actually, that was helpful, Pastor. That was good, Pastor. Thank you. Three people, that was good. You know what I want? I want if the worship team could do something for me. You know that song Cornerstone that we sang there? I'd like them to sing that, and I'd like us to celebrate those words. Can you guys put that song up on the PowerPoint there for me?
In Christ Alone.
In Christ Alone, my cornerstone. Can you find that? Can you pop up a couple of verses for me there? Okay, go to the next one. Go to the next one. Well, that's good too. Let's just read. Let's read that. Can you read? Who can read? I want you to read this with me. Ready? Let's start with there. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Just the next verse, I want you to read that one too, just for fun. Can you give me another verse there? You ready? Let's read this together. Read it. Read it with understanding. You ready? No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Ha 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 ha. Yeah. The devil? Don't it? Makes me want to grab a corn stalk and jump over hell and spit in the devil's eye. A big one. I tell you, I'm so free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good. Is that good or what? So we're going to sing that whole thing. Can I get the folks who are appointed to be ministers at the altar? Can you guys come up here and just to get ready? And you know, if you need prayer for anything or you just want to come and say, man, I agree what we did today, that communion, that was awesome. You just want somebody to agree with you and manifestation of that aspect of freedom in your life. They're here to pray for you. They're here to minister to you. There's an altar here today where you can come and give thanks and identify with somebody and get some prayer. It's all good. So who wants to sing this really bold? Sing it with revelation. Leap right out of your socks and just say, man, am I ever awesome. Hey, come on. I want to hear your best voices. And just one more thing. God bless you in the name of the wonderful Father, His great love, Lord Jesus Christ, and His beautiful, lavish grace upon each and every one of you, and the intimate fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with each and every one of you. Go manifest the kingdom everywhere you go, in Jesus' name. All right, everybody singing in your very best voice. Oh, you've all got a microphone. Oh, my God.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this song.